Father, we thank you that you are a merciful God. You hear our prayers. And we thank you for the way that you showed through this encounter with this woman the value of persevering faith and also the extension of your blessings beyond Israel to the surrounding nations and to the ends of the earth. Help us to apply these things to our hearts and be changed, Lord, through what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever felt as though God is unwilling to answer your prayers. I wonder if you've ever prayed for something close to your heart over and over again, and you start to wonder, is God listening to me at all? Maybe I'm not the kind of person that God listens to. Maybe he listens to others. I wonder, even if you know better, you've still felt that way. I know at times I've been amazed at how God seems slow to answer a particular prayer of mine, and yet when I get somebody else to pray on my behalf, my prayers seem to get answered. Well, that's a great thing. But have you ever wondered, is God listening to me? And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus doesn't, at least initially, seem to be listening at all to this woman whose daughter is in such great need. Well, if you remember from previous weeks, in Matthew's gospel, we have had Jesus feeding the 5,000, a great miracle of provision. With only a few loaves of bread, he fed a great multitude of thousands of people. And we saw Jesus displaying his power over nature, walking on the water out to meet his disciples as they were battling away on a boat in the middle of the night. And through that encounter, they came to see in a new and deeper way that he was truly the Son of God. And then Jesus entered into a dispute with the Pharisees who wanted to talk to him about ritual cleansing. They were concerned that his disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate. And this was a big problem for the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And Jesus argued on the contrary that it isn't what goes into a person that makes them unclean, i.e. it's not the bacteria on your hands when you don't wash your hands that ends up in your mouth and goes into your system that makes you unclean in God's sight. But it's rather the things that come out from deep within us. The evil behavior, the damaging and destructive behavior, the sexual immorality, the anger, the discord, the jealousy. You fill in the blanks. These are the things that make us unclean. And so we've had these themes of bread and provision, and we've had this theme of clean and unclean resonating through this chapter, these chapters. And here we kind of find these themes coming together in a new way. As Jesus leaves the region of Galilee and he withdraws to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And these were cities on the Mediterranean coast. They were outside Galilee but nearby. These were ancient cities and they were old enemies of Israel. A number of times Tyre and Sidon come up in the prophetic writings, and it's not for compliment. God wasn't pleased with the inhabitants of these cities. They were trenchantly opposed to God's purposes and to Israel's occupation of the land of Canaan. And so Jesus is entering into this territory. It's non-Jewish territory and it's potentially hostile. And then we read that a Canaanite woman from that vicinity comes out to him and she's crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Hello. A Canaanite, the old enemies of Israel, the ones they turfed out of the land, they entered in fulfillment of God's promise. A people who, since the aftermath of the flood, back in the early chapters of Genesis, had been under God's curse. And you can read the history there. And yet she addresses Jesus with these words, "Lord, Son of David." This is a very surprising address to come from a Canaanite. Not only is Lord a polite term, but when she puts it next to Son of David, she's showing she understands something of Jesus' true identity as the Messiah, the one who would sit on King David's throne forever. And she has this tremendous need. Her daughter is demon-possessed, that is, she is under the power of Satan, the devil. And she is suffering terribly. And so how does Jesus respond? From your knowledge of Jesus up until this point in the Gospel of Matthew or whatever you've read from any of the Gospels, how would you expect Jesus to respond? Well, he doesn't answer a single word. He ignores her. And his disciples come up and say, "Look, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Jesus is giving her the silent treatment, and this would be the standard Jewish leader's response to a Gentile outside of Israel. And the disciples say, send her away. And it appears that they mean, "Look, just give her what she wants so she'll go off and stop bothering us." And Jesus answers, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Jesus apparently won't even do that. She's a Gentile. She's a Canaanite. And Jesus responds that he wasn't sent to minister to the Gentiles, only to the Jews. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And you know, this is in fact true. Jesus himself wasn't sent to every nation. He was sent to Israel. And when he first sent his disciples out preaching, he told them, "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." He was the Jewish Messiah. He came to deliver the people of Israel according to God's promise that he had made to them, the Israelites. And if you read back in the Old Testament where this imagery of sheep and shepherd that Jesus is invoking here, it's used so regularly. Ezekiel 34, talking about the sheep of Israel, God's people, and how they have been neglected, and how there is a need for one, a shepherd, like David, to nurture them and look after them and rule over them and seek their well-being. And Jesus is that one. He's come to seek the lost sheep of Israel. And that's not to say, of course, that no Gentiles at all have been healed up to this point. For example, you can go back to chapter 8 and see Jesus heal a Roman centurion's servant. But this happened within Israel. Jesus has not yet ventured outside of the borders. But here he does. A woman asks for help. He ignores her, and then he says to his disciples, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Well, how does the woman respond? She comes and kneels before him. "Lord, help me," she said. She kneels. She's reverent. She has acknowledged him as Lord, Son of David, Messiah, and she repeats her request for mercy. And yet now Jesus gives his greatest rebuff and apparent insult yet. He replies, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The children are the people of Israel. Their bread is Jesus' ministry to them of teaching and healing. The dogs are the Gentiles, who, according to Jewish law, were unclean. Jesus is telling her that as a Gentile, she has no claim on the privileges of the Jewish people, no claim on the ministry of the Jewish Messiah. She is outside the covenant of Israel. She is entitled to nothing from Jesus. She is unclean. But she's not finished yet. Jesus has just told her it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And she replies, "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Now, this is one of the most extraordinary answers to our Lord that you will read on the pages of Scripture. You see, she doesn't deny anything that Jesus has said. Yes, the Messiah's mission was to Israel, first and foremost. Yes, it is the Israelites who have covenant rights to the Messiah's teaching and deliverance, not the Gentiles. Yes, it would not be right for Gentiles to simply feel entitled to God's promises which were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, as a Gentile, she is unclean. But granted all that, even the unclean Gentiles can receive the overflow, the spillage of God's grace first given to Israel. And with that answer, this Canaanite woman, supposedly an enemy of Israel and of God's purposes, from a hostile region that had long been in open rebellion against God, with that answer, she shows more discernment, more humility, and more faith than probably anyone so far in Matthew's gospel. She has actually perceived God's ultimate purpose in sending Jesus to Israel, to fulfill the promise he made to Abraham all those centuries ago, that through Israel, all nations would be blessed. And Jesus commends her, saying, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed that very moment. You see, back in the previous passage that we heard last week, the Jewish religious leaders argued over ritual cleanliness, but their hearts were unclean. This Gentile woman was unclean according to Jewish law, but her heart trusted implicitly, tenaciously in Jesus. And according to Jesus, this is what cleanness looks like. It's not about where you're from. It's not about your history. It's not about your family of origin. It's not about your gender. It's not about your socioeconomic status. It's about faith in Jesus. It's about trusting Jesus. Now, was Jesus being antagonistic to this woman? Was he playing hard to get? Well, in one sense, yes. But everything he said was true. There's nothing false in any of his answers to this woman. Jesus presented the woman with the Jew-Gentile relationship as it stood at that time. Everything Jesus said was true as things stood at that moment in history. But he intended to take things further, and so he drew out her faith, letting her say it first. God's plan was to let not only the crumbs, but an overflow of bread, an overflow of God's mercy and provision down from the master's table, so to speak, to the surrounding nations and to the ends of the earth. And we're going to see this in next week's passage, pictured so wonderfully and perfectly in another example of feeding of the 4,000 And this time, wouldn't you know it, a Gentile crowd. There are three things, though, when it comes to application, that we ought to see about this woman's faith. First of all, she recognises the great need that she has. Now, of course, when a child is in grave danger, a parent's heart can do nothing but beg for mercy from the nearest person who can help. Just on Friday night, I thought my son Toby had swallowed something he shouldn't. I couldn't prove that he had, I couldn't prove that he hadn't. So off we packed into the car down to the emergency department, and they said, yep, we've got to get him x-rayed. So they x-rayed Toby. He enjoyed that very much. And thankfully he was fine. But in those moments, you see there's a need. Whether it's a need for someone you love, whether it's a need for yourself. That's a moment of great need. And you know, all of us have tremendous need. This woman recognized her need. She saw the power and the havoc that Satan was wreaking in the life of her daughter, and she came to Jesus for help. But the Bible teaches that whether the devil manifests in unusual and particularly and obviously destructive ways, such as through demon possession, the whole human race, since we turned away from God from the earliest times, has been under the power of Satan. We have tremendous need. But do we recognize it? This woman recognized her need, and so she came to Jesus. This is the first thing. You can come to Jesus anytime you like, but I guarantee you, you're not going to do it until you really see your need. You must come to Jesus at any time, whether you feel your need or whether you don't, but I guarantee you it's not going to happen until you really see your need. The second thing about this woman we ought to see is that she had an attitude, a wonderful attitude of humility rather than entitlement. How often do we experience a rebuff from God? He doesn't answer our prayers the way we would like, and we react in anger. Perhaps it's something relatively trivial. Perhaps it's something we think is important, but we know deep down it's not of ultimate importance. And yet we become bitter because we thought we really deserved it. Well, this woman had tremendous humility. She did not come to Jesus with entitlement. She wasn't depending upon her status, anything about herself, but only on God's mercy. And that's the nature of true faith. Finally, we see her perseverance. She doesn't stop just because she doesn't immediately get an answer. And Jesus' teaching on prayer is inseparable from his teaching on perseverance in prayer. He wants us to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking on that door. We ought to expect that the greater the blessing we are seeking from God in prayer, the longer we will have to persevere in prayer, in faith, in order to receive it. Why? Because God is stingy? No, not at all. He is more willing to answer our prayers than we are to ask, but he's growing our faith. That's what he's doing with this woman. He's bringing out her faith. He wants to see how far she'll go in perseverance, in insight into Jesus' true identity and mission. That's why he gives her the rebuff. And so it is with you and I. When we begin this journey of prayer with God, we will find he rebuffs us, perhaps over and over again. I don't know what you're praying for right now. There are prayers that have been sitting on my prayer list for a very long time, and I've seen very little movement in them. And this is a reminder for me that it's not that God's not listening. It's that he's increasing my faith. persevere. And tonight, as we come to prayer for healing, and whatever the request is that you bring to God this evening, don't just treat it as a one-off. Keep praying. Keep getting others to pray for you. Keep knocking on that door. God always hears our prayers and he always answers according to what is best for us. And we should never have low expectations of God when we come before him. We should continue to ask and wait on him to receive the answer that he deems best for us in his time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing account of this woman's great and persevering faith and how she was guided by our Lord Jesus in a way that she wouldn't have expected into a deeper understanding of who he was, a deeper understanding of his purposes, not only for Israel, but for the ends of the earth. We thank you, Lord, that that extends to us. And in this room, by and large, we will be people who are Gentiles, and yet we have benefited from this mission, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And we pray, Father, that as we prepare to bring our requests before you to celebrate communion and pray for one another in the prayer teams, I ask, Lord, that you would increase our faith, increase our expectation, and that you would visit us in power. And we pray, Father, that we would see much of your glory and of your willingness to hear and answer. And if we have to wait a long time, increase our faith and keep us faithful as this woman was. In Jesus' name, amen.